This episode of the 92 Brewcast is brought to you by
Bishop Cellar.
Down on the beautiful Halifax waterfront. I believe that by the time this episode airs, that the following day
yes,
will be the brand new opening of the brand new store.
Tomorrow. The 23rd of October, the year of our Lord, 2019.
What a wonderful day.
What a day.
So get on down to Bishop Cellar. Go say hi. Celebrate the brand new store.
New beer fridges, new taps. Not new taps, but new area for the taps. All that jazz.
Hopefully, if you see the podcast studio, I didn't see it when I was trying to peep on.
It hasn't been in the teasers
yet. A couple of
yet.
Instagram posts.
They're keeping that super secret.
Yeah. I mean, it's not even in the floor plan.
It's the most well-kept secret.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think there isn't one in there, guys.
Listen, hey. Only time will tell.
Man, they're good.
I know.
They're good.
But if you can't make it out, or if you are so antsy and need to spend your money right now, you can head to the website, because I think they're closed as of like today.
Yesterday and today, the shop is closed.
But then after today, the 22nd, they're open. So, but the website's still open.
Yep.
You go to bishopseller.com, spend $150 on the website. They'll send your product anywhere in Nova Scotia for free.
Free.
Or you can spend less and you have to pay for shipping, but then...
Then you may as well just round it up.
Yeah, like round it up. I mean, $20, $150, what's the difference?
You can't afford not to spend $150.
I'm not an accountant,
really.
But I'm pretty sure it's very small.
It checks out.
Immaterial.
Definitely.
Okay, I guess we'll get on to the episode. All right, it's finally here.
It's here.
We've done it, guys. We got all the way back to my basement.
The moment we've been waiting for.
We are doing the cans versus bottles, I guess, torture test.
Showdown, yeah.
Showdown's a good word, too.
It's a good...
Ooh.
Torture test has, like it seems a little bit more...
Extreme?
Yeah. So
accurate, though.
Yeah.
True.
But not any more accurate than I think probably if any but of us have put our beers through at some point or another.
All of these scenarios.
Yep. So I guess just to kind of catch you up on the whole plan, because I also want to catch these guys up on the whole
please.
Plan.
Yeah,
because I kind of devised this and just kind of ran with it, which means I did it mostly asked. I didn't take any photos of these things where they were when they were being tortured, but you'll have to take my word for it.
So yeah, one half to two thirds asked.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but I wanted to use my whole ass. Anyway, that's my it's a great Homer Simpson quote. So we got six tall cans of Propeller IPA and six bottles of Propeller IPA.
Yep.
With
you so far.
You guys are there with me so far. There's no date codes on the cans, but I think they're all produced the same date. And the bottles are all produced on the same date because that's how it works. As close together as you can possibly get.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Was there a date on the bottle box?
Yes, but it's gone.
Okay.
It's been eaten. It was eaten by my barbecue.
All right. Very good.
But the point is what we were trying to do was subject the beer itself to different environmental stressors and see if one package format held up better in certain situations than other. And then just kind of compare them to some control beers. Initially, we were going to do five different stressors, but in the interest of keeping beers at the same temperature while we record, and also not wanting to spend way too much money on doing something just for shits and giggles, we decided that we were going to do four torture tests, which was freezing, exposing the beer to being outside for like 2 weeks, being the back of a hot
through
car.
Various temperatures, as October is
right, yeah.
Everywhere. Being in a hot car for 2 weeks.
Yep.
I park my car in the sun at work every day. It's in the sun for like 8 hours. Sits in my driveway, gets sun all day in the weekend. It goes when I drive, you know, it's getting exposed to lots and lots of light and lots of temperature. And then from there, we have a room temperature set and a outside.
Outside.
Just let. Oh, did I already say outside?
I don't know. There's four.
Frozen, hot car, outside
and in the cupboard.
And in the cupboard. And then we save the other two bottles and two cans for control.
Yes.
So go ahead.
I was just going to say, we are not scientists. This is not overly well documented or using any fancy scientific methodology.
I didn't measure temperatures or anything like that.
There were no sensors or probes or any such things.
No.
There will not be a report.
I just picked
this. It will not be peer reviewed.
No. This is for entertainment only. I just picked the sunniest spot on my back deck.
Yeah.
Left the beer out there, exposed to the sun as much as possible. I didn't sit there with like a meter to try and figure out, how much sunlight gets there. And
we're also not weighing in really at all on the pros and cons in terms of environmental impact and whatnot. We don't want to touch that today.
Nope.
This is just which ones held up best
for under, the beer. It's this for is the for beer, the beer
under relatively common, perhaps exaggerated, but common situations.
Yeah, I think the other test that I did want to do was subjecting the beer to like a very much controlled temperature increase to like a high-ish temperature. Uh-huh. One, I didn't have the time, and two, I didn't really see a point because I can't think of anybody who would, for fun, run their beer into like a sous vide machine.
Right. Yeah.
For like 8 hours.
Unless you were doing something like this.
Yeah.
But it's not a very good approximation of like a real life.
Yeah. It's event. I mean, the hot car, I think, is probably a better.
Totally.
A better indicator of what might happen. Like if you're in transport, there's temperature fluctuations, lots of light exposure, all that other stuff. That being said, and I have to point this out as well, that we're also taking into account the fact that the 6-pack bottles are kept in cardboard.
Right.
Which is important to note.
Yes.
Because in any case, if you left a six pack of beer outside or anywhere where there's light exposure, you may not run into the same issues except for maybe the bottles that were sunward facing.
Right.
And that's something I want to point out as well. That's something to think about.
Yep.
But as far as the other stressors go, like being frozen, that kind of thing, light exposure, not so consequential.
Yep.
Cool. So, yeah. Does that explain it enough to everybody?
I think that seems like a good starting point. So we're going to...
I think I follow.
Yeah. We each have... we each have four...
Oh, I didn't even fucking introduce us. Yeah, this is Down to Brewcast, the East Coast Beer Podcast.
It is.
If you are still here...
If you're new and still here, my God.
Still here.
Bless you.
This is Tony with me as always, Kyle and Phil.
Yes.
Mm. Why did I always... I'm so excited about this.
This is fun.
That's, I'm just jittery.
So we each have four glasses.
Yep.
So we each have a can control and a bottle control.
Yes.
And then we're going to have a can and bottle from each.
Yes.
Each test. So we will have at each time for any time we'll have four beers. We'll have a control bottle, a control can, and then say a frozen bottle and a frozen can.
Yeah.
It's not blind.
It's not. No, we're not doing it blind. Just because I think it's too much juggling, too much glassware,
too much to ask of a.
Too much to ask
of a steward.
The beer steward.
Of Danielle.
So when we go to open the packaged product, regardless of what the testing point is, I think what's important is that we're going to open all the cans and the bottles at the same time, whether they're going into the glass or not.
Yep.
So that we have that same air exposure.
Yep.
And they've all been in the same temperature, same level of temperature control for the last 24 hours.
Yeah. So once they were done being in a hot car, once they were done being outside, once they were done being in a cupboard, etc., they all went into the same fridge at the same time.
Right.
Until now. Or until a few minutes
ago. Yeah. And the other thing is we will, once we've completed, the first half where we do the first two tortures or the first two environmental stressors,
yep,
we're going to sub out our control as well for a fresh one.
That'll be the same temperature as the
ones that we're going to do.
New, yeah.
So a couple things. Before we get started pouring, the weirdest thing for me about this was the packaging sort of reacted in different ways.
Uh-huh.
So for example, obviously the room temperature one, nothing really happened to the can or bottle.
Yeah.
When it came to the frozen one, the frozen bottle, it kind of exploded out of the top once it froze.
Yeah.
Which is what I expected.
And it has happened to me for sure.
The can puffed up a little bit, but what I want you guys to do is before we open the frozen can, I want you to give the frozen can a squeeze.
Oh, it's squishy.
And then squeeze the control can.
Yeah, a little squishy.
Can I touch it?
Yeah.
Touch your cans.
And then the control can. Oof. and then that's a control can.
Mm,
so
interesting.
Something happened in there, obviously,
yeah.
That has maybe taken the pressure out of the can.
Some air got pushed out.
Yeah.
Again, this is...
No beer leaked out of here, though.
No. Again, we're using Propeller IPA because it's one of the only ones we could think of that was both canned and bottled.
Exactly.
And, you know, the IPA is nice because the hops, depending on sun or whatever, might...
Right. And also, I don't like amber ale.
Yeah, there's that too. Yeah, we could have used Tall Ship, I guess.
It's perfect because we basically have a hoppy amber ale.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a little crystal in here.
Yeah, so we just like that's the reason we picked the style as well. Yeah, because it's readily available in both sets of packaging. It's got a distinct hop note that, you know, if there's anything weird about that, we're going to catch, hopefully. Somebody asked, who was it that asked the first question? There was one who asked if we had any perceived, like...
Preconceived notions?
Huh. Chris, yeah. Chris from AC Beer Blog asked, what are you expecting to be the worst torture?
I mean, I think...
My
like,
mouth?
I mean, in my head, like the one outside, like the sun exposure, I think will do bad things to the glass, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen one, I mean, if some got out of that and if some air got out of the can, you know, there's a risk certainly of some oxidization in those ones.
Yeah, I would suspect whatever was subjected to the warmest conditions the longest, I guess, would be my preconceived notion of what would fail the most.
Yeah, and like going into this, I think the only time where I think... And this is just kind of me throwing it out there. The only time I think we're, from a flavor perspective, maybe we're going to see the biggest swing is between the bottle outside and the can outside.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's because of the light exposure.
Yeah.
And I think there will be something that comes up in the frozen one, but I don't know if it's going to be as apparent, right? Because like the window for it being frozen to thawed has really only been like, it's not frozen anymore for sure. But the window for it being frozen to thawed is not very long.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know if
when did this come out of the freezer?
This came out of the freezer. I took it out of the freezer Monday afternoon, and I put it in the fridge with still a good chunk of ice of it, like, in the evening. So
right.
So 48 hours.
Yeah.
Ish.
But it's definitely now the same temperature as everything else because there's no ice in there anymore. So
yeah.
I think. I'm not... Again, we're not going to stick a temperature probe in there.
Yeah. I should have brought one.
Yeah. I'm not going to put my meat thermometer in there.
I would have if I brought mine. Oh, well.
You and your probes.
Kyle. You want to get to her?
Yeah, let's get to it.
You have like a very on-brand bottle opener here.
Yeah, like an old-school Propeller logo metallic bottle opener. We should pour these controls first. Well, we should actually open everything at once, so... You guys want to help me out with these?
Yeah.
I have no idea if anything... Nothing is... My number one thing I was worried about was like some of these are going to explode, but I can't possibly see that happening. There was no pop on that frozen one.
The lid on the frozen one came off very easily. There's no pop, no nothing. A great sound. Oh, yeah. There's no CO2 in that frozen one at all. This is a great start. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is
so
awesome.
We now have three open bottles and three open cans. Does this
you
make sense?
Pass me your can control glass.
Can control glass. That's the red one.
Yep.
We're doing our best here, guys.
We obviously don't have to drink all of this.
No. Some of them we're not going to want to, I don't think. What's next?
Just give me one of the bottles.
Okay, here is your frozen bottle.
Okay, so then we're going to do the two tortures being frozen and canned.
Yes.
So give me your unmarked.
The non-marked glass. Got to keep all these straight.
There is no carbonation. A little bit.
There's a little bit.
I'll take your unmarked one first, Phil. Thanks.
Don't mess this up, Bill. So yeah, we're going to do frozen first. So I'm going to move hot car out of the way here for a few.
This is really exciting. You can hear us pouring beer.
Yeah.
Or barely hear
trying to fill some of the air here.
Grab yours there. Oh, I have it here.
Right there. Okay. Now yourself.
And then we have to put the bottle control in the...
In the big glasses.
In the tall glasses.
Big boys.
Yep.
Gotcha.
So the, I think the thing to note will be that we only we have a limited amount of control for this round. So I'm trying not to pour it all in there, but if it happens, we can just work with what we've got. Did I totally miss the bottle?
Let's try and get it in the glass at least for starters, yeah.
Depth perception. I don't have it.
You get less of it as you get
interesting.
Older.
Interesting.
That'll tell you.
Okay. So.
All right.
Look. Yeah, just grab one of those. So looking at the controls, I mean, I think this is where I want to start. Smells like a propeller IPA.
I'm interested in this already, appearance-wise.
Yeah. To me, I'm not like... Interesting.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the wine glass, but why does this... This one just seems brighter and more vibrant.
I think it's got a wider base than everything, right? Like, everything's kind of sloped. This is a bit wider.
It's true.
But... So, again, the can frozen one is the one with the pick.
Yes.
The bottled one is the... blank one.
Right. The bottle one, all of ours, I think have settled out quite a bit.
Yeah.
In terms of carb. Also, it looks clearer.
It does. Yeah. I completely agree with you on that.
So there's that.
So just kind of checking back and forth between the controls, like.
So that's a can. This is a can. This is fun to keep straight already.
I mean, it tastes like propeller IPA out of the gate. Like, you know what you're getting into when you drink this beer.
So I drank a lot of this at my wedding.
Yeah.
And look how that turned out.
Wow. Okay. So I guess sort of diving into the two samples. We did, the bottle was in the unmarked glass.
Yes.
I'm going to keep saying that because I have to keep checking it out. So for me, what I've noticed in the unmarked sample glass is that the carbonation's super lazy.
Yeah.
Mine, if I give it a good whip, it's gotten a little bit of action in there.
Mine's hard-pressed to get anything.
You were right at the top of the bottle, though,
yeah,
right?
I got the good
I'm
stuff.
I'm pretty hard-pressed, too.
Yeah. So from a nose perspective, because we're checking bottle to bottle.
Yep. It's tough to, like...
Aroma-wise, I'm not really seeing much change.
No.
This is really fun listening, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, you're right. I'm not getting a real difference there.
Nope. What about from a taste perspective? Kyle, what have you found?
Like, a mouthfeel perspective, it's flat. Like mine, maybe because more.
Oh, that's flat.
Yeah, more so than maybe yours. I don't know because mine, I can't even like get it. I think if I whip it up, but
no, there's not. There's no carbonation.
Yeah,
it's dead flat.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's dead flat. From a taste perspective, I don't think that there's anything distinct.
It's hard to tell without the carbonation. Like that informs so much of the flavor to me. Like a lot of the bitterness and the kind of the, some of the brightness is amplified from that carb, so when it's not there,
it almost tastes more.
It tastes different, yeah, just by nature of the of it, how it is.
So I've had, you can tell how it is by the way that it is. Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell how it is.
So I personally have had beer freeze on me, you know,
absolutely
many times. More like the most recent time, other than intentionally doing this, it was probably, I want to say a couple of years ago, I had a trade come in from Kildemwidit in Ontario.
Yes.
And it was a bottle of...
Mark?
Yeah, from Mark. I had a bottle come in, and the trade came in, and we had a really bad storm, and I didn't see the notification. This is how I became a constant notification checker on my shipping notifications. I didn't see the notification on my front door, but it wasn't... I guess it wasn't on my front door anyway. It was inside my mailbox, and it froze.
Yep.
And then so it was a, I can't remember what the IPA was, but it was in a bottle and it froze. And when I went to drink it, I was like, oh, this doesn't taste very good at all. wonder what people think of this beer. And then I went and checked, and it was like relatively, you know, highly reviewed on, you know, Untappd for whatever that was worth like 2 or 3 years ago. And people seemed to really like the beer when I looked on their social media page and stuff like that. So it's just like, it was a little interesting to me to see. So that's kind of one of those things that sparked this like, I wonder how badly that really affected
right,
the
yeah.
beer. Where are you guys, what are you guys at in the cans?
Just looking at it.
Yeah.
And again, we did mention when I first poured it, but the my bottle that was frozen is very, very clear.
Right. Mine is not as clear, but again, I think we're at different points in the bottle.
Yeah. I'm just surprised it is that big of a difference. Like mine is like
yeah, look at like
clear as a bell, like West Coast wow. IPA.
Holy crap.
We'll have to take a picture of this because this is the I will take a photo. This is the same bottle.
Yep. So but, that's interesting.
Same bottle, but
so yeah, mine is clear.
There's no condensation on my glass. Right, like
this is the
frozen
bottle.
Yeah, and for some reason, mine was the first pour. I think and it's
yours is the top.
Crystal clear.
So for some reason, it settled out.
Emphasis, maybe it did. That's emphasis, certainly possible.
Emphasis on the crystal.
It it definitely could have settled out. It's super cold. Any sediment might have frozen. I don't know.
But that's interesting. Well, I think.
Because things like crash out, like
right. But I'm just trying to remember, it must be sort of along the same premise as when an ice cube freezes, right? Like when an ice cube freezes, not all of it is clear, so right. The impurities get concentrated to a certain point. So yep. I wonder if that has something. And I say impurities is like whatever fuck else is in your water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that has something to do with that freezing bit as well,
that could be. Yeah, because I've made like ice cubes for like cocktails in like a freezer, right? And like just the top part freezes. Crystal clear, then the bottom is all the
right
junk or whatever.
I think there's like a way to do that if you have like a cooler, you can make perfectly clear ice cubes, but that's you have to freeze them surrounded in water. It's really
yeah, weird. And you don't freeze it all the way. So it the way the nature of how it freezes from like top down, it's clear, and you never get that chunky bits that
yeah.
Free. Anyway, another day.
Interesting. So out of the can, so this is again like going to the control. Still smells like Propeller IPA.
Yeah.
I would hope the control still smells like the beer it's supposed to be.
Ba-boom. I'm not picking up a noticeable aroma difference. I don't know if you guys are.
I'm not. But again, I just tasted it. And it is still less carbonation, which I kind of expected when we could give it that squeeze earlier. At least to me.
It's not as flat.
No, it's not as flat.
It's not as flat, but it's not as carped.
But does it have to do with the fact that they froze and thawed, or does that have the fact to do with that the cap got compromised?
Right.
And the bottle.
I just got a text from our former steward asking if she can have a beer.
She
wants a framboise.
That's why she's former. She's drinking the inventory.
Yeah, she's drinking the nice.
I promised myself I wasn't going to mention church today.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems like both of these packages under freezing conditions failed in some capacity in their ability to keep out oxygen or whatnot. Seems like the can maybe did a bit better job.
Yeah, and
I don't know if that's the type of the seal on a can, like that double walled hooky seal on like the seam versus like a twist on cap. And I wonder if it's different if it's twist on versus like a cap.
Yeah, and I also wonder if like during the thawing, and I didn't do this, but I wonder now if during the thawing process, like after it had been completed, like if I had rotated the can or shaken it up a little bit or something to try and reintegrate whatever may have escaped. Like I don't know.
It's not a hazy boy. We wouldn't naturally go to roll this beer.
Yeah. But I mean, it still tastes, I'm getting the same beer when I drink this, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it smells the same to me. Yeah.
It's just, from a carbonation perspective, I think you're right. It's a little bit more carbonated than the bottle, because the bottle literally, I would say, basically opened when it was frozen.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I mean, if it's a spectrum of bottle being flat and this one being carb, this one's straight up the middle or something like that to me.
Yep.
Just not quite all there.
What are you getting, Phil?
A little bit of metal.
In the can?
Both.
Metal.
Sorry, in both?
Metallic. Both cans, control.
Both control and otherwise?
And the interesting. Frozen, the frozen one. I am. I didn't want to get that, but I am getting it.
It's all BPA lined, right? Like there's no actual contact of metal.
No.
But I'm getting a metallic sort of.
Now, I've run into that in other IPAs, I think, in the city. Mm. And I think part of that is water profile.
Yeah, maybe. It could be it. But that's, I'm just going back to the bottle versions now. But
I'm going to try and look for that now in the bottle as well.
I don't get it in the... maybe just a bit at the end, but it seems more pronounced in these. It's all in the end. It just sits in the front mid palate.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder if that has more to do... I mean, if you're still picking it up, I wonder if that has more to do with, like... Will that go away with oxygen exposure? Will that go away with something?
It's definitely, for me, it's sitting there. Maybe I'm getting sick.
Could be.
Iron deficiency.
I've been fighting something for weeks, so who knows what...
Gotta throw down.
Shape my stuff's in.
So, I'm just introducing this now because I didn't think about it, but like from a frozen perspective...
Yep.
Like we have a... I mean, I wouldn't say a necessarily clear winner, but...
No.
I think from a overall, like, can withstand being frozen...
Can withstand?
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. So from being able to withstand being frozen perspective, it's to me pretty clear that the can does take the win there.
And let's be clear that a sample of one is like the worst statistics you could possibly do. So this bottle could have been flat when we started.
Yeah, but I mean, like, we have some pretty good evidence to suggest that wasn't the case.
Oh yeah, I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, and again, like, we're doing this for our own entertainment.
We would need to do this several more times to be able to...
And yours.
Yeah, and for your entertainment, hopefully.
Jeez, sorry.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we should move on to the next one.
Moving on.
So don't dump your controls.
This is pretty... The frozen thing is pretty common around here, though, right? Like,
oh, yeah. Like, yep. Most people around here, I try not to do beer trades once November hits. Like, overnight, you're getting into...
I'm
thinking classic sort of, house party, chuck your beer in the snow.
Definitely.
Yeah, or just put it in the freezer to try and chill it off quicker, and then you forget about it. Oh, yeah, come back an hour later. I've done that.
Because you're just like, oh, well, this is freezing. I'll drink 10 scotches.
I've done that recently. Yeah, I'm not... Definitely not innocent of that one. But you're right. You go to the party, fridge is full, just throw it on the deck in the snowbank. Oh, we played that hockey tournament last winter. There was cases of beer in the snowbank.
There sure wasn't.
Did you have any? So yeah, keep those ones.
I hope to do that again. The
don't slam all that one.
Barley wine classic.
You want to dump those for you?
Yeah.
Just pitch those for you.
Grazie.
Bottle.
Yep. So we are on to the hot car test.
So I drive a hot car, just in case you guys didn't know.
Yeah. Don't dump that one.
Oh yeah, this is the control.
Please don't dump those ones. There's no more control.
They're limited supply.
Bottle is the unmarked. Closed. Okay. So on to hot car.
Hot car.
So this spent the same amount of time outside as, or the same amount of time in my car as the ones that were in the cupboard and the ones that were just straight up outside.
Yep. With you so far.
Yeah. So unlike the frozen one, which I kept as cold as humanly possible and then froze it like towards the end of the test, because I didn't see a point in keeping it frozen for more than like a couple days.
No, yeah.
This one, like right off the bat, looks like it has more carbonation than either of those last two.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks like it's fighting strong here. Do you want to pass me the hot car can there, Phil?
Oh, I sure do.
Yeah.
Pass the hot car can. Can do.
Yeah, can do.
Get that can do attitude.
Like a reactor?
Nice.
Sorry.
A little Canadian nuclear history for you.
A little CanCon here on the pod.
We've been known to do it once or twice. So again, your red glass is the can control.
Yes.
Your marked bubble or your marked tulip glass is the can sample. So, on to the hot car.
So... mine bottle is much less foamy than my can.
Same,
yours,
same.
Now, the bottle was poured first, I guess.
Right. This is bottle. This is can. But this dissipated, like, and it is, again, after a quick...
Right. So I just gave mine a quick twirl and the head is dissipating while the head from the rapidly can has still, it's not still dissipated.
There. Yeah.
Like this is just going nowhere. And then you give the can a nice whip.
Give them both a whip. It's.
Yeah.
Should have brought like a, should have borrowed some breweries like dissolved oxygen meter. A little DO testing never hurt anybody.
Like anyway. this is got that sticky sort of like lace, like actual lacing, where this one is, yeah, more, looks more soapy and
yeah, quickly. Mm-hmm. I agree with that for sure. Like the soapiness of like hand washing or that kind of thing. Yeah. Whereas this one has like, it actually has like in the middle of mine, I just gave it another swirl. Like in the middle of it, there is still a little, although it's small, there's still a nice little whip, like a cluster. So
interesting.
You know, the bottle control here again, just for the sake of checking the, checking my nose.
I did can first, so. Well,
okay, well.
It's fine.
You would.
He can do what he wants. Oh, God. We have to stop saying can as like a pun. Because it's like it's going to get tired very quickly.
Love it.
God, I can't. Can we have a conversation about saying can?
It's like at the end of Monty Python, like where the guys that can't say it.
Yeah.
They say it over and over again.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay, so follow me here. Almost as expected.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No. No.
Almost, I don't want that. 100% as expected. Smell your bottle sample.
No. Oh, wow. No. Wow.
Oh, that stinks.
Hell no.
Oh, my God.
Hell special. No.
This oh, is, that this smells is, horrible.
This is the car one, not the outside one.
This is
one.
The car one. This is just within my car.
Fuck me. No. No, thank you.
That is
so it's
that is rancid.
Skunked.
Completely.
Just, yeah, for the listeners that can't smell it right now.
If you can't tell.
You lucky 10 of you.
That really smells bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
What a difference, hey?
That's amazing.
Oh, I feel like you're gonna be okay.
It's like a whole. Yeah. She gone.
Yeah, she gone.
when something's bad, like there's been so many times where, like where I've had a bad beer and like just drain poured it and
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
And like I've kind of been cryptic with what the beer is and put it up my story for fun. And
yeah,
those are the ones you always get like millions of responses to, like what beer was it? Blah, blah, blah. What was wrong with it? And I'm like, I don't know. It's disgusting. I'm not like taking more sips of it to find out
right.
What the fuck's wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's bad.
It's bad.
That just tastes and smells rancid.
Yeah, I can't.
Well, even, I shouldn't say rancid. It doesn't taste rancid, but the smell is so off-putting.
Yeah, yeah, I can't.
It just like, it tastes sweeter too.
Yeah.
No, that draws me in.
Jump on it.
No thanks. No.
You're not even going to drink it.
Hey, man.
You can do what you want. Anyway.
You can bottle what you want.
So, to the control of the, like, can-to-can here. Again, you know, still getting that same aroma, but, like, on
it's
the...
It's not as...
No.
Oh, it doesn't reek like the other one. Like, smell, no, them, exactly. Smell them side to side, right? Like,
oh, man.
Like, we're talking noticeable skunk
yeah.
in the bottle.
Yeah, I mean... And, you know, like, brown bottles block out a lot. I can imagine if this was, like, a, you know, a Heineken or a Stella or something.
Yeah, like, well, I'm just saying that, like, offensive linemen can only stop so many pass rushes.
Yeah. So I'm going to get through.
Oh, my.
Yeah, when it is sweeter. It is definitely sweeter. It's yep. not even any...
This I would, like, hard pass on.
Yeah, it can.
And the can is 100%, like, is it exactly the same? It hit some temperature fluctuations. Am I seeing too much difference? I would say it's negligible, if.
Sure. The can...
From the sample to the tortured one.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a... Not something like, if you opened it, you wouldn't be like, oh, there's something wrong with this. Whereas the bottle, you open it, you're like, okay, this is toast.
New. This has been microwaved. Pepe, where you been?
Yeah. So yeah, I'll give this one to the can.
I'm not even going to drink any more of that.
No.
No. I mean, I'll drink some of the can one.
Yeah. So
I'm still getting some of that metallic, but like I say, it could be water profile thing. for sure. And maybe maybe just the abuse is making that pop a little bit more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And you know, I assume it's this cans. It would be a different batch. Like maybe like the cans in the bottle, from my understanding, wouldn't be from the same batch as each other.
No, but he's still picking that up in both cases.
Just cans.
But I'm picking up worse in the abused cans.
Okay. Yeah.
Than this one.
Intriguing.
Very.
Well.
Oh man.
So don't leave bottles in your car, guys.
Don't leave bottles in your car.
And the controls, the bottle just seems. Now it is their touch, so maybe it is a water profile thing. But the bottle version seems softer.
Yeah.
Now I imagine if you left a case of bottles in your car, they would be fine because they're in cardboard.
It depends. Like I don't know. Like we didn't measure how much light got through, right? So
true.
If you know, what if you put it down and the hole is up where the bottles, where your hand goes in for the bottles?
Sure. Yeah.
You're exposing the beer to light there.
Yep. Totally.
Nasty.
It would be less pronounced, I imagine, just because.
Yeah, it would be less pronounced, but there's no way you could put this in a lineup and people would just be like, "This is skunk."
Yeah, and there's a slot
it's
in the top 100% of the box.
100% skunk.
All right.
So, clear winner in this case. If you're leaving your beer in a hot car, might want to do it in a can.
Just don't do it anyway, though.
Yeah, just don't
do it.
Yeah, we're not advising you to do this, but
if it happens,
you're going to have to toss the bottles.
Yeah.
Now I will say
I would drain pour that if I encountered it.
Oh yeah.
Or I'd even take it back. Well, that's my own fault, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, that one's on you.
If I got it from the NSLC or if I got it from the brewery itself, which I would highly doubt that would happen if I got it from the brewery.
Right.
But if I took it home from the NSLC, went home, opened the bottle, and that's what it tasted like.
Excuse me, I left this in my car and you should have put this in a can.
Yeah. Why didn't you give me my beer in a can?
I will say my sister got me a hop stains once from Frederick from Trailway. It was in her trunk for like 2 weeks and it was nasty when I got it.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
But I imagine it's more the nature of that style of beer, right? Like
something that's exactly.
A little less shelf stable maybe and whatever, but
yeah.
At least with this beer, minimal difference, if any.
So round one.
Round one complete.
Speaking of shelf stable, this is a little off subject. I don't know if I mentioned this last time or not, but there was an older gentleman recently. Did I mention this?
Yes.
Where he was saying that the bigger breweries in New Brunswick, because of the upcoming possible move to convenience stores or grocery stores, the big boys were kind of like pushing that their beer is more shelf
stable.
Right. Because it's pasteurized.
Probably. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
interesting.
Speaking of hot water bath. In there.
Indeed, that would do it. All right.
Well, that was a fun little learning experience.
That was a good start.
We have to go do this again for two more beer.
We get to.
Yeah, get to, I guess. Do you guys want to
science and for the people?
Mid-palate cleanser?
Do you guys take a palate cleanser and go over some questions and then take the next round?
Sounds great.
Okay, yeah. Let's take a shorty while we get some beer.
All right.
All right, so we are now drinking a can of Lagerhosen.
Lagerhosen.
Tademagush.
Yep.
And the label's like square on this baby.
Yeah, it's
good job,
great.
Johnny.
Yeah.
Nailed it, bud.
Way to prove NS beer memes wrong.
You did it.
Oh, man. So we got some social questions.
Man.
Hold on. I guess we kind of answered
buzzing.
It might be me.
Yeah, it must be. I don't know.
We got a couple questions. First was from ACBB, for Chris from AC Beer Blog. He wanted to know if Danielle was running the tasting tonight. She did do a great job last time. Not that she was fired, but she's just, I think we could manage this one.
I think due to the not blind nature, this one we can manage ourselves.
I think doing this blind would have been really hard. We talked about doing triangle tests.
Yeah, even harder.
Which, if you don't know what a triangle test is, you take your tested beer and then you put it up against two of the same controls. So two glasses of control and one glass of your messed up beer.
I think you can also have two messed up and one control. I think the key is just to have one different than the other.
Right. So whatever it is, yeah, it's just like one different than the other. Gotcha. And then the person is supposed to identify out of those three. I've only read about that reading, is it Brewlosophy?
He does a lot of weird
testing. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of testing that gets done on there for like actual good reasons. Like a lot of it's brewing related because he brews batches of beer and then pits them up against different things or changes different things or exposes them to different things.
It's really neat. Yeah. He does a lot of really cool stuff.
Yeah. I spent a lot of time doing reading ahead of this, just kind of reading through some stuff that, you know, that they've done for sure.
Yeah.
Next question. We already answered the one about the what we expected from Craft Beer Biker. Is there such thing as a good pumpkin beer?
Of course there is.
Have you had one?
Of course I have.
Yeah, the original Celtic Devil, right? I used to enjoy, to a degree, the when Garrison did the Double Jack. Although I think I mostly enjoyed that it was like 9%.
So, exactly. So that goes back to what I've always said about something like that, is that it needed a big...
booze.
It needed a big beer to carry those flavors.
Yeah.
Instead of the all too often... Because that's just the way... It's not just the way pumpkin beers are made. It's the way fruit beers have been made around here forever, right? Like, it's just their blonde ale with extract or sometimes just literally juice thrown in the keg and swished around. So, they're like... But the spices are way too much for a light beer like that, in my opinion, to carry. So, it was always like it needed a bigger body.
Yeah.
Thus, and I did the porter, right? Yep. Big, a strong porter, the whatever 18-letter acronym it is.
Yeah.
And the best one that I ever had was from Texas. It's the patron saint of beer. What's Saint...
anyway. I got no idea.
St. Arnold.
St. Arnold.
I think.
Sure.
We'll go with that.
That's the name of the brewery in Texas.
Okay.
And they do this imperial pumpkin stout thing. Might even be barrel-aged.
Ooh.
But that worked, right? Like, it carried... Yeah. It was actual pumpkin pie, but it had the weight and the...
Yeah.
I definitely used to smash the Double Jack.
Yeah. I think that, on the regular. But I think that's why it was, like, one of the better ones, because it was a bigger beer that carried...
Yeah, and it definitely didn't come off boozy, right?
Yeah, and I had this one 3 years ago, Anderson Valley. It's bourbon barrel-aged.
That was just weird.
Pumpkin ale.
It was good, but it was weird.
But it was good in Wild Turkey barrels. So
was that the bottle share?
Yeah, 3 years ago we did that triple box. Oof. Still recovering from that one.
Yeah, it's St. Arnold.
Yeah.
For sure.
So I guess that's where we sit.
Can I get one around here? I don't think so, because none of those things are... And
the beer is called the Pumpkinator.
The Pumpkinator.
And it actually was this Beer Advocate 90%.
Oh, wow. Means nothing, but means, you know, something.
Bourbon barrel aged.
That would probably be pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's
someone do that locally. Make a big one. Big boy.
Make a big baby. Big
I
pumpkin.
I think KD lately is up to like 9%. The original one was 8, but... But this one's 12,
creeping up.
This
there.
One's 12.5%.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see a big one like that. Then we can talk.
Big.
Craft Beer with Me asks, which Nova Scotia breweries have we not yet visited?
There's several.
So we've not visited 902.
Like between like individual.
I think we as a podcast
would be.
Let's go with that.
We've not visited 902, the Steinhardt Brewery.
We have not visited. What's the tap room for the hot place near you?
Benton Ale?
No.
That's the winery.
That's
the
winery.
/ brewery / whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't there a tap room that opened up by your parents' place?
Oh, yeah. Hilltop.
Yeah. Haven't been to Hilltop.
Oh, yeah. We haven't been to Route 19. We haven't been to Breton. We haven't been to the Townhouse.
Yeah, there's lots.
We haven't been to... any of the brew pubs you haven't been to.
And even individually, I'd say.
Right.
I've got breweries I haven't been
to. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I've been to Paddy's, Rudder's, Rock Bottom.
New Scotland.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
Anyway, that's some.
That's some. I mean, there's more, I'm sure.
Maybe they're suggesting stop, like, just sitting around you three talking. And, like, get it. You guys need to get out somewhere again.
Yeah. I mean,
it's been a while.
We definitely should do that soon. We've had a lot of good feedback.
What was the last time? Was Church the last one?
Church was the last one.
I believe so, yeah.
But we've had a lot of good feedback that, you know, at least people that have been sending us feedback, they like these episodes, too.
Could be too much of a good thing, though. We should hit the road. Those are fun to do.
Yeah. I don't want to not hit the road. Let's just get that.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, there's lots.
Maybe another brewery episode coming soon.
And then that's just Nova Scotia, right? There's countless, and New Brunswick. There's new ones at PEI. We talked about the other day about Bogside, about Lone Oak.
Newfoundland.
Newfoundland. Oh, yeah,
the entirety of Newfoundland.
Have not been there yet, yeah.
That Lagerhosen is deadly.
I think I said, I tweeted the other day, I drank one of these in just like a disrespectful amount of time the other night. Like, I just took it out of the fridge. It was just crack gone.
Yeah, boom.
It definitely tastes like another. Like, we had one at at Schoolhouse yesterday after we had a couple Schoolhouse beers, and it was just like, yeah, give me another Lagerhosen.
It's, you know, well, we got here. We got 4.5% lager brew with Hallertauer. Tadabrew's first seasonal is a classic with spicy floral hints. That sounds about boat par for the course. Pairs with, looks like it pairs with pretzels, sausages, and Lederhosen.
Nor'easter Vinyl.
Yep.
Asks us, what has been the most excuse me, I consume beer and I have to burp. what has been the most enjoyable beer your group has discovered this month?
Hmm.
So,
as a group?
I'm going to say we can do it individually because I think we're each going to have an individual answer to this.
First of all, I will say I had a Sook Silwell Grisette with dinner on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. That was delightful. Yep. That's my current running answer.
It was October. Let's go with October for October.
I also had an Oval Espinay the other night.
Is this, what was the question? Like a new beer? Discovery?
Yeah, like
beer?
A new beer.
Yeah,
a
so
new
I think
beer.
Sook is my new beer because Espinay I've had before, but holy crap.
Most enjoyable beer your group has discovered this month.
Discovered.
If you want to do something not, you can do something not local and maybe something local if you've run into one that you've found.
No, I'm going with Sook. That's the only new beer I've had this month, I think.
So I drank.
You go because you've had some.
Well, when I was brewing with Sean, I drank Armand Gaston. We also drank two other Dre Fontaine beers, and they were really, really good. Phantom was really good. Like, but these are ones that I just like, I know, like, I don't think I would have necessarily tried. So like, I don't even know if I'm going to mark them. From a new beer perspective, like from a local side, definitely the, Cool Melon.
I saw that.
There. I know I already told you guys this, but like I said, this beer slaps. I am not joking. Like it tastes, it has a watermelon kind of finish to it. But I drank it on Thanksgiving, like after I had spent like all day, like cooking food in the kitchen and it was like hot. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to drink a beer. So I poured it into my giant tall glass. And then I think I finished it in three gulps and I was just like, oh man, this is good. It was really tasty. I have to go get more.
I also had the new ISA from Bogside. That was tasty.
Yeah.
I ran into Mark on the street.
Nice.
And he had a case of beer and gave me some cans from it. So
I think from like outside of the region, we drank some crazy beer that like last weekend. There was just a lot of beer that we drank that were really, really tasty.
Beer's good, man.
We got to a tall boy, like a tall bottle of Triple Carmelite. Oh, some people had never had that before, but that's like the banana beer. Like it's so Belgian-y and like bright and crisp. You got to open it.
And macro.
Open it.
No way.
Open it. Open it.
I'm not doing it.
Phil, you
who brought the macro Carmelite?
I can't remember.
Oh, he's pleading the fifth.
Phil, do you want to? Would you like to share a snack pack with me?
Not
are you really. Scared? You're scared
not
to drink
really.
It. You're scared to drink it.
I'm with dangerous on this one. I think.
No, sir.
You don't want to drink it.
I mean,
I do not want to drink it.
I mean, I've had some skunky IPA tonight, so I can't be any worse.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I can guarantee you this will not be the worst beer you've had today.
I don't know, man.
If you guys don't want to drink it, that's fine. But like, I don't want to go alone. Okay, fine. I'll put it away. I'm gonna keep it.
You know what? The only memorable, because I can't say it because we'll get slammed for that. But the only memorable drink I had this
so far
this month was a wine.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
So, what was that?
I don't know.
Some
red wine at Bishop Cellar. I got it from Bishop Cellar.
Obviously,
it's the Marco Barra or something or other.
I think you were telling me about this.
Yeah, it's got like this guy's face smoking on the front.
Perfect.
I love it.
Anyway, that was awesome. Awesome wine.
Do you guys want to drink the Seeing Citra?
Yep.
Or do you guys want to get back to the IPAs?
Let's go back to the IPAs and then we'll...
All right.
We check what's in the cold.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, put it back.
Well, I'm going to the fridge anyway. Are.
Leave the snack pack out, maybe. I'm thinking.
You don't want to drink this, do you?
I do not.
Is it the banana?
And the vanilla. And there's probably lactose in there.
You don't like vanilla?
No. I don't need... So, Phil showed up with a Trailway snack pack. It's a stout with, like, what is it?
Vanilla? Courtesy Craft Coast.
Yeah. Vanilla and bananas and...
Let's go on the old whatever it's called.
The Graham?
The Graham.
Anyway, it doesn't seem like it's up my alley. But, you know, it could be. Your basement's like a weird, like, phone interference
world. Oh, it really is. There's
everything
barely any service.
Buzzes
down here
all the time. It's crazy.
We got a question from John Harris.
I saw that.
He was pointing out that it's very likely that the cans and bottles aren't from the same date.
It's true.
We know that. I think we addressed that earlier too. Nobody wants to do that on the same day, but they're as close as they're as close as they can get.
Yeah, I don't think it's from the same batch. I don't know if they do that or not, but it's as good as we can get, I think.
Yep.
I don't see anything about lactose in this one.
Yeah, I didn't see lactose either.
All right.
All right, let's throw...
You're thinking of the banana velvet fog.
Yeah, you are.
That
and
too.
That I did not want to touch with a 10-foot pole. Let's throw to the mid-ed while we get all this cleaned up.
Okay. Quick break in the action.
What a quick break it is.
Action.
I think we were literally taking a break. This is a quick break from
this
the
break. This is a break. Yeah, it's between beers.
Yeah.
It's actually in the middle of this time we're recording it.
Weird. That's never happened before.
We want to tell you about Bishop Cellar. Our terrific.
You might want to get down there this week.
And one and only sponsor.
Tomorrow, at least.
Don't go today, if today is Tuesday the 22nd.
But after today.
Go nuts.
Yeah, go nuts.
They're open. New space.
They're massively open.
Please take a picture
double
of our
space
podcast studio and send it to us.
With a picture of today's newspaper.
Yeah.
I'll
be very impressed. Somebody takes a picture of a if somebody takes a picture of a dumpster and just sends it to us. Like, make sure to tag us. I would love to see that. So, yeah.
Bishop Cellar, Halifax Waterfront.
Oh, so nice.
Bishop's Landing.
Brand new store.
Beautiful
I was in the
place.
Like I was in the I guess the renovated portion of the store so far.
Right.
The store you can go in.
The new side.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty adorable.
It's very nice in there, nice setup. Can't wait to see the whole thing.
Yeah, man. I'm stoked.
It's gonna be great.
Lots of new space and fridge space looks like for beer, which is great.
They had a great selection when I was down there too. Like new, it's Great Lakes Brewing from Ontario.
Karma Citra is back.
I definitely drank one of those.
I believe
a disrespectful amount of time as well.
With the grand opening, there'll be some German beers out. Is my understanding?
That's what I've heard.
Da.
Some pills action.
That's Russian.
Yeah, they've interfered with our podcast as
yes,
well.
Yes, that's
apparently
true.
But yeah, go down there. The staff are wonderful. They know their stuff about beer, wine, and
sure
spirits, etc.
I'm sure there'll be some surprises.
I think that there'll mm-hmm. be some goodies.
You can always find out about goodies sometimes if you sign up for the email newsletters.
Yes.
Which you can do from bishopseller.com.
The show notes have a link to the newsletter site.
When the links work.
When they work.
Or subscribe to duncan.beer.
That's right, yeah.
Shout out to Doug.
If you want the new on the beer front, he's got you covered.
If you spend $150 on the website too.
150.
They will send you your product anywhere in Nova Scotia for free.
Free.
And that can be a mixture of beer, wine, spirits, no weird numbers, anything other than just having to spend the money.
One bottle of Dom.
You could do it.
Yep.
If you need our podcast address, I can give that to you if you want to spend $150
just ship it here. Yeah. Yep. once again, it's nearly Coldstream Clear candy cane season, so
I think it's out.
Be on the lookout for that. I think it is too. I saw Phil Nickerson bought it.
Yeah.
Tasty stuff.
There you go.
He brought a less conspicuous bottle, I feel, than what I generally
well,
yeah.
he's in DeBert. He's got to bring it home. He can't just
he could have shipped some there.
That's true. That's
no problem.
True. Good point. Point taken.
But anyway.
Sign up for the newsletters. They'll have the growler taps back after today. So
same five lines, I believe.
I'm sure they're clean, though.
I would imagine. I think Ken was out there the other day I saw on the gram.
Giddy up.
Nice
so
and
you'll
tight.
See the new growlers. We already mentioned signing up for the newsletters.
Just do it all.
Just do it all. If you want to buy cans to like torture beer, you can do it there, but Just drink the beer. Don't torture it.
Just be nice. Put it in the fridge.
We are doing this for you guys today.
We torture for you.
Yeah, we've done the work here. Just,
I can't believe how skunky.
Just buy it, put it in the fridge, and then drink it later.
I'm going to have nightmares about that beer.
I'm going to need several more beer to clean that one out.
All right, let's go.
Nice. Love it.
Okay, so yeah, let's open the bottles first.
I have the...
before we... let me. You guys want me to do this again so I don't, we don't screw it up?
Well, yeah, we'll just do it. Why not?
Okay. People. Oh, sorry.
Oh, this one didn't even do anything. Psst. The control.
What are we saying? Cue the guitars here?
The control didn't even pop, so that's a good sign.
I'll ask you this, Kyle. Phil, I can't ask you this because you don't know the answer. What do you think of that cue the guitars from the Friday episode?
That was great, man.
That's pretty good.
I really enjoyed that. Yeah? See?
We produced the... Kyle, I say we produced... that's the can control.
Yep.
Are you me? You're pouring beer everywhere.
Yeah, it just it got stuck on the edge. Where'd that cloth go?
There you go.
Gracias.
So we are now pouring the control.
Yes, Tony's episode came out on Friday, recording and brewing at Tide House.
So we produced that episode. We produced that episode today together.
He had some...
what are we doing here?
This is the control, so this would be your red glass. Yeah, I can pour here. Oh, you got it. Okay.
Here's your control bottle, sir. So this round is the left outside and left in the cupboard.
Outside, beers. Inside, I... Fuck. Outside, inside, IPA. It's a Beach Boys song.
It is a Beach Boys song.
Everybody go drinking. Drinking IPA.
Excellent.
That's the top stupidest thing I've ever done.
What do you want to do first?
Well, the song goes outside, inside. So
outside it is, yeah. Out on the deck, it is. So this was left out on your somewhat newly renovated deck.
Yeah.
On a table.
We call it the compound.
The compound.
Just because it has like the, it looks like bars.
I like anyway. That. It's like a sanctuary from The Walking Dead.
Cherry compound.
So this will go in our marked glass.
Marked glass with the pick.
As our outside can. Again, I would expect some light struckness from this bottle.
Oh, there's going to be some light struckness.
Not from this can, hopefully. That's a whole other problem.
Carbonation-wise, though.
Seems successful.
They look about the same. I'm not seeing too much difference between the two. You know that thing where you can do where you like where people tell you to like point your fingers together and rotate them in different directions?
I have not understand what you're talking about.
Like where you go like this, like. No, can you do that? Like, do you know what I'm talking about? It's like separating your brain and your fingers. Yeah, okay, so it's pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It's like doing that with a swirl. That's what I'm trying to do right now.
Very like good.
The swirling in two different directions.
You're nailing it.
Wait, what's what?
Mark's glass is can.
With the guitar
red
pick.
Red glass is...
Can control.
Can control.
Got
it. Tall glass is bottle control. And unmarked glass.
Gotcha.
This is it, folks.
Okay, so what are we doing first?
I have just the can control in my
hand.
That's
exactly what I grabbed.
Yeah, okay. Can control this. So obviously no difference between the... It smells like the other beer we were smelling before.
Yep.
I think it might be a touch cooler... Maybe.
Feels like it.
Do you think your downstairs fridge is colder than
the
upstairs fridge?
It is touch colder than the upstairs fridge. But we moved them downstairs.
Just trashed this whole thing then.
Shut up.
She go. All right. So I'm moving on now to the outside can.
Outside can. Yeah. So these would have been this would have been exposed to some temperature fluctuations. But mostly it's just like the beating sun.
Yeah, the sun. And I assume it'll go from, you know, low 20s to low single digits, though, yeah, over the last few weeks.
Yep, and it was hanging out with a nice
couple frost days in there.
Yeah.
Not here, but yes.
Not here?
No. No, we're too high up off.
My part of Bedford had some frost on, like, some rooftops and whatnot. I did not park outside.
Nope.
I had some scraping days.
We have no scrape yet.
I think I would have if I parked my car outside.
So... Again, not noticing much difference other than maybe like, I feel like the carbonation's a little softer. Maybe I'm just perceiving it that way. Like, go back and forth. Just go back and forth. See if you guys feel the same.
Same.
You feel them both the same?
No. It's not quite as carbonated. The carbonation is not as aggressive, I guess.
Yeah. I'd buy that.
So yeah, softer in the
but still
carbonated. It's
still carbonated, but it's just the mouthfeel of the carbonation is a little bit.
It's a bit more lazier.
More bite in the in the control. It's a little maybe tinier bubbles or whatever the case might be.
So what do you guys think that's a temperature thing? Because that's the only thing I could possibly think of is like where there's so many fluctuations. Like, is that just kind of like?
We didn't notice that in the car one, did we?
I think we were blown away by the skunk
of the bottle.
I think the bottle skunk really took us for a ride.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that like.
Because I expect these to be pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Might get hotter in the car, right?
Definitely would have gotten hotter in the car.
You don't leave children or dogs in the car. Why would you leave your beer in the car? But,
Even the nose is just a bit softer. I find.
I kind of see where you're coming from. Like,
yeah. I'm wondering if it has the opening of the glass, at least for me, is a bit smaller on the control than it is for the other one.
I'm wondering if that's the same shape glass.
I'm wondering if it's a little tighter, but.
I don't know if that's enough, though. I mean, to me, it's like where I'm still getting that like that carbonation being a little softer is actually quite interesting. Like, I don't know if I would have. I didn't expect that. I honestly didn't expect to see much difference between these two samples, or at least between the control and the. But I guess enough of the temperature elevation and all that had something to do with it.
I think there is a bit of a difference, though. Like,
The control's better.
I think it's.
Let's be clear.
Back to like, if I got this beer at like the tap room or at a bar or whatever, and I came home and drank it, I wouldn't say like there's anything wrong with it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But comparing it to the control, it does seem a bit lacking in a few of those places.
Yep. So.
But yeah, exactly. You wouldn't pick this up.
No, I wouldn't send it
no
back.
No way.
The only way, this is sort of throws back to the Pilsner tasting episode where we were definitely picking up things that were like, you may not notice unless you were directly trying to compare stuff, right? Like, this is definitely one of those things where you're like, I'm drinking the same beer, but there is like a noticed difference between the two.
Uh-huh.
Now, I see Phil anxiously... Spike.
I'm scared.
A little gun shy here.
I'm honestly scared of that one.
Post-traumatic skunk.
Well, I'm going to go to the bottle first.
Yeah, let's go to the
control bottle, that is.
Yep.
Okay.
It's in the bottle. No issues with this beer.
Nope.
I wonder if I can pick out. Yeah, this is.
That's. Yeah.
I know, we're just listening to us drink now. Oh, did you go for it?
I just took a big whiff of it.
All right, Phil, on the count three.
It's the dankness.
Give it a swirl first. Make sure you get the nose
really elevated. Really I don't want more than what it's going to give me.
Cover it up. Get a good Cicerone swirl on there.
Oh, man. I don't even know if I can do that.
Get your.
Oh, my God. I can already smell it from
get
here.
Get it. Get it.
Ready?
No. No.
That's some Nova Scotia roadkill, my friend.
Buddy.
God,
mine is more skunked than the car one. I think.
Oh yeah, this shit's been
blasted. What's so funny is that like I like a little bit like when Saison DuPont has a little bit of that.
Sure,
you know what I'm talking about.
That's why it's in a green bottle,
touch,
man.
Right, I know. It's like a touch. It's like an accenting piece. But that,
oh,
no, sir, you Bob.
I'm not drinking it.
That is wrong.
Yeah, it's.
I need that snack pack to clean my nose now.
Oh my God. Wow.
I can't even touch that.
This is horrendous.
Yeah, no, I want none of that.
I'm going to sip it because
for
I'm
science,
brave.
Right?
I'm brave.
You're doing it for all of us.
Yeah. This is for everybody. Oh my God. It smells so bad. It smells so bad. And I, you know, okay, I'm going to put it out there. This actually smells like a Corona. Smell it again.
Nope. I'm
done.
Corona
had caramel malt in it.
Yeah. Don't say that too loud. They might do it.
Oh.
Oh,
is it bad?
Oh, that's violent. No. No.
No, I can't even. That'll make me sick.
Oh, that's wretched.
Yeah. That's why we're doing it.
God, everything, it's so gross. It's like really astringent and it just smells bad. So, I mean, the worst performance by a beer.
Oh, yeah.
Goes to outside.
Outside bottle.
Outdoor bottle.
Yeah. That thing is just, that's rancid.
95 or 93 or whatever percent it is not near enough.
No.
Not near enough.
So, don't leave it outside. Ever.
Yeah. That's rough. Which,
that's horrible.
Which is not as easy as it sounds.
Well, yeah. No, we were talking about like playing hockey.
Yeah.
In February, we threw them all in the snowbank.
So easy to
do. It's right there. And, you know, sun's always like reflecting off snow and stuff. Like, that's not a good place to put them, obviously.
Yeah. That was rough. That was, that is not.
Didn't like that.
So, like, yeah, like, you
think, I want another palate cleanser now.
That was gross.
Mm.
Okay. So, like, clear. We should save this for the end, but we have to follow the rules of the song.
The song we just made up.
I didn't make it up. Brian Wilson did.
True. Okay. Yeah, it's bad. Don't like it.
I'll take another song and bye bye bye.
Yes.
Nice.
Love it.
Don't pour out your controls. Oh, that's so gross.
Yeah, bye bye beer.
That should be illegal.
Don't want that. Yeah, get rid of that one. It's going for it.
Just gonna mic that up.
Excellent.
I'm sorry you guys were subjected to that beer.
Sorry you're subjected to Tony not turning off his mic when he put it in the stand.
There's a... So what... The last one is room temp, is it?
Yeah, it was left in the cupboard, I think.
Left in the cupboard, so not exposed to sunlight. Much.
No, so the other torture that I did want to do, other than heating up the beer, was I was going to subject this the beer that ended up being the extra control beer. I was going to put some headphones on it and force it to listen to episode zero for
a week straight.
Like 3 or 4 weeks.
Just straight abuse.
Yeah. But I think I would have had beer.
I mean, or any episode for that matter.
I would have had beer protective services called on me.
That's alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
This is the non-marked glass?
This is the marked glass.
Marked glass for the can. Yeah. I don't expect to see a big difference between these two where there wasn't a light component.
Yep.
That's my hunch.
I think that's fair. I maybe open the cupboard like once or twice.
Oh, how dare you.
Because the extra could be, like you say, like a gym bag or like a golf bag. Hello. Like all the time.
Yeah, that's true. But that, again, that like I think something that you take around with you like is going to potentially be exposed to like temperature changes.
I guess other than the fact that it sits in my car most of the time, my golf bag. It's very much, it's similar to cupboard.
Yeah.
It's not actually exposed to light or anything, but but the difference would be it would be exposed to some temperature swings.
Yeah. No, I think being in like a leather bag might insulate it from some of the extreme swings.
Good point.
Yeah, true.
No swing pun intended.
Oh, nice.
It's okay. I have no swing.
So yeah, most of Phil's clubs just end up in the bushes. Just tomahawks his putter in there after.
I almost did the other day.
So back to the control beer, obviously still tasting...
On the can, correct?
What it should be. Yeah, we're going to do the can first.
Yeah, it tastes like the other ones. Good, good?
Yep.
This is the pick marked glass, correct?
Yep, marked glass with the pick.
I got nothing.
I got nothing. Maybe you pick something different?
No.
It's the same beer.
Same beer. Speaks, I suppose, to its shelf stability.
These beers are how old? These beers, like 4 or 6 weeks,
somewhere in that window. Yeah, for sure.
And they, you know, when you got them at the brewery, they were kept cold
in the dark and cold,
presumably forever.
Yeah,
they were brewed, and then they were put in the tanks.
they didn't go fermented, far until the furthest they had gone was right from where they were canned to the fridge.
And they've probably been cold since the day that they dropped the temperature on the fermenter.
Yeah.
So
there is,
I got nothing there.
On my first initial taste, I'm getting no discernible difference between the control and the shelf beer.
I mean, maybe somebody with an extremely well-trained palate.
Right. Might, yeah, I mean, this might, is...
Yeah.
But this, the point is, 99.9999% of us aren't that person and don't give a fuck.
Especially after sipping through like 8 other beers.
Yeah. And like straight up, like I would take... You take this beer home, open it up, drink it. You're not going to notice if it was on the shelf or if it was in the fridge first, as long as you got it cold.
Like, I'm sorry, if your palate is that refined, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. Like, how do you enjoy anything? Random noise.
It's the fridge?
Pipes in the house.
Pipes. Okay.
Great. Cool.
Onto the bottle then.
So, onto the bottle. I mean, obviously go back to the control first. Still tasting the same. Still
tastes like the tastes like the cans we just had.
Yeah. No, like, and I also want to point out. I do want to point out. In every other case, but the first where we drank the frozen beer, the color has been the same across the board. Yep.
Color appearance, whole deal.
Like we didn't notice anything other than that first instance, which I took a picture of because it was remarkable.
Yeah. My control bottle is like a shorter pour because the bottles are smaller than the cans. So I think it's warmed up a bit more than some of the other samples, but
again,
that's just,
I haven't tried yet. Just, that nose seems different to me.
Lots of smelling.
We're all smelling voraciously here.
I listened to a podcast today where like somebody, one of the hosts or one of the guests was like breathing through their nose the entire episode and it's driving me nuts on the bus. And I was like, oh, well, it's going to be us tonight, I guess.
I'm not picking up anything too drastically different between the two from a nose perspective.
I have a small bit enough of a cold that that's not nothing there for me.
You didn't state that at the beginning of the episode, Kyle.
I did actually earlier.
Oh, I
said I've been fighting something for weeks.
That's true.
It's not that much, but it's enough that like, if there's anything small between these two, I'm not going to find it. I can tell when the beer is totally skunked, though.
No, there's...
I'm getting something...
There's something... And again, I haven't drank it yet, but there's something... And again, I'm not intentionally picking this out because my mind doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. I forgot even where I was here for a second. So I was smelling these beers, but it just it smells a little staler to me. Like it doesn't smell as fresh as the control bottle.
Like we don't know if it is as fresh as the bottle because they're not stamped. Also,
the bottles all came from the same.
The bottles were all from the same.
Oh, you mean though, right? Between those two? Okay, sorry.
Yeah, between the control bottle and the what is this, room temperature?
Understood. Yep.
Room temperature. I can sort of see where you're coming from, but like
smells fresh. This control bottle smells fresh. Don't love it, but it smells fresh. There's just, and again, it's not blind. It's just there's something that's not quite as fresh about it. It's more, it's a little bit like, 2 day old bread.
Okay. I see what you're saying, where there's like a little, like just enough.
Not something I would ever like send back, but just like.
And if you didn't have.
If I didn't have the control beside it.
Right, it's fine.
Then I don't think I'd necessarily pick that out.
What did you think when you tasted them?
I have not done that yet.
Okay.
Ah, here we go.
Couldn't get past the noses.
That's interesting, though. I wonder if that's just a function of the package or if it's just a temperature thing or if it's maybe there was like a, the few small instances where I opened the cupboard, even though it was out of the light, if there was like some exposure to that would have caused that.
And it's weird to think about, but like your cupboard is on like an exterior, which cupboard was it? Exterior wall, interior wall?
Interior
like,
wall.
Yeah. So it's like, who knows what the...
To me, it just doesn't taste as fresh as the other one. Not as fresh.
I mean, that makes sense intuitively, right? If it's been kept cold forever and then all of a sudden you keep it warm-ish for 2 weeks. Like, yeah. It's not hot, right? It's not been hot out, but...
Like I said, I think that's just... Again, I'm... Like, we talked about this. I'm, like, off-put by food that, you know what I mean, that has any bit of... You know, bread. Like, once you open that bread package, you eat that bread that day or...
Right.
Day two, the only thing you do with it is toast it.
Yeah.
It's already basically...
Can make some croutons.
It's room temperature toasted. Yeah.
I can see where you're coming from a little bit. But I'm also having trouble because, like, I think... The control one is, I think, temperature wise a little bit different too, right?
Okay, well, now I'm gonna go with canned bottle.
Canned bottle.
Ooh,
I don't see why not.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so in canned bottle, the nose is a little flat on the bottle versus the can,
and that's what I mean. That
the
flat is what I. Like, I say stale, like a little bit stale, but like flat, because it doesn't, the nose doesn't pop.
Right. In the can, the nose is still popping.
Exactly.
In the bottle, the nose is not popping the same way.
So I don't know if stale might even be the wrong word, but like, but again, like things that are fresh, like when you open a fresh package of bread or a bag of chips, I guess would be even better description, right? Like when you open it, it's got that massive pop, whereas like if you roll it back up, you can do your best job to seal it,
right?
But day two you open that and it's just like the chips are still good, but they're not they don't have that pop.
Is the carb in the bottle a touch lazier than the can?
I feel like it.
Oh, 100%.
It's a little, and maybe that's been something that's come up a few times, and I don't know if that's just the nature of the packaging line.
It could be the batches as well.
It could be the batches of the packaging or whatever, but it just feels a little, it's not flat, but it's not as lively.
That's a great question.
I don't think
there's any difference, because these would all be forced carb, right?
Yeah, I mean, they'd all be fermented, probably Bright Tank, probably the same thing, same Viz Whiz hooked on there. I don't know where the loss is. It maybe it's not. Maybe it's a batch-to-batch thing as opposed to a packaging thing. Like, again, unless you do this 20 more times, you're never going to find like a...
Why is there always that much air in a bottle? What's the reasoning for... You know what I mean? What's the reasoning for this?
I assume it's because if it freezes, they don't want too much of the beer to leak out.
Well, I know if you like... With a bottling wand, like if I do homebrew, if I have like a bottling wand, you put it in... Fill to the top, you pull the wand out, there's a displacement and the level drops down the neck. But a canning line, same thing. There's a thing that goes in the can to fill it up. Yeah, gas and...
Yeah.
And maybe that's part of it.
But cans are filled... Like, I just from work on the packaging line occasionally, it's just like, if it's not full to the top, like our canner kicks it out.
Yeah. Right.
Because it weighs it.
Yeah.
So, like, what do these say? Like, 341s, is that what it is?
Yep, should be the old ISB.
341. So is 341 to here, or is 341 to here?
I mean, we could fill a bottle up and measure it.
I've always just wondered that kind of thing. It's the same thing in like big bottles too, right? Like,
there's always scale.
There's always that.
Yeah.
And with those size bottles, I always like I tend to look for stuff that's bottle conditioned. I don't know if it helps with any of that or.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
I'm not a doctor. So.
But bottles are never filled to the top, right? Like, you get a bottle of pop, it's not filled to the top.
Exactly.
So unless it's distilled water, and then those are filled to the very top, and they get you wet when you open them.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. But in cans are not. So is it a pressure thing where they can't?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, it could be that too.
And if it's a pressure thing, does that, by virtue of that being a thing, just automatically make
the can lazier?
The better...
Yeah.
Mode of packaging just based on that.
Yeah, simple that's a good fact. Point too. So I guess, yeah, for this test, like I think in like
and I'm not saying cans are better.
But
having been
able to go back and forth, it's kind of like, well, but thinking about it from
things that we all do and are all guilty of doing, are what we've done to these beers.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess what I want to say is that, like, I think between the control and the sample of the room temperature, the differences are pretty, they're minuscule, right? Yeah, they like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But when we go package to package, when we go bottle to can, it's a little bit more noticeable.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Which, I mean, obviously in other cases, it was way more extreme.
Right. Whenever there's significant light exposure, the bottle fails greatly.
Phil's doing a nice little color experiment. I don't see any color.
No, not color. I'm actually like looking for like carbonation, which is pretty close.
Yeah.
Looks like, yeah. Anyway.
It's interesting. So I guess we can kind of like kind of a recap.
Yep.
That was a bottle joke.
At least you didn't say can. Can we recap?
Can we recap? Yeah, so for the frozen beer test, I mean, cans are the clear winner, but like both beers were not like great examples of what you should do to a beer.
Right, I'm not convinced that every bottle leaked the same way. I'm not convinced that some cans wouldn't blow up either. Like, I think that's in the test we did, the can won. I think that's probably a coin toss, though.
Yeah. Because, like, from the beer's perspective, it wasn't, like, I don't think it was necessarily drastically different other than the fact that, like, the bottle had clearly opened.
Right, so it was more flat, but I think the can could have easily done the same thing.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I wonder why the can didn't suffer from that dropout the same way that the bottle did. Like, we noticed that weird clarity thing.
Oh, yeah.
And that can was brick solid.
Mine was crystal clear.
Interesting. It is interesting. Yeah.
Maybe it hadn't frozen in the middle or something.
It could have been the more oxygen thing, right? Like the bottle like was basically open.
Yeah, that's true too. There could have been something that got in.
Anyway, whatever.
Okay, that's a good point. I'll take that. For the hot car, I mean, clear winner.
Can
for sure.
Hundo-pee.
The bottle was skunked.
Yeah, toast.
So that's another round for cans.
Yep.
Although we could debate the first round, I think, a little bit. Round three was outside.
Can.
100% can. That was that beer was rancid. The bottle one was rancid.
Toast. Absolutely toast.
Even though there was some differences in the outside beer, we noticed a little bit of difference in some flavor components, a little bit of difference in the carbonation. It wasn't enough to say like this beer was bad.
Nope.
And then when it came to just inside the cupboard, I mean, we still say can. For differences that weren't necessarily apparent from control to sample, but from package to package, we noticed that was the.
Yes.
I think that would be the one where
it was. It was bigger package to package than it was.
Yeah, so that's pretty interesting, though.
Yeah, I think two were clearly can. The other two could have been situational / batch to batch, whatever. But like at the end of the day, we prefer the can all four times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, bottle did not, like I say, if there's two instances, last one, you cannot argue.
Yeah.
it's really three wins for can, and then the other one, maybe or maybe not.
Who knows?
Debatable. Don't freeze your shit.
We could freeze some more and see what happens, but.
But at the end of the day, it's 3 out of 4 is.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you guys surprised with the results? I mean, notwithstanding the outside and the hot car one.
No.
Not at all, because it's 100% light blockage versus
anything
less than 100%.
That's the thing. It's like it's 100% and it's 90-something percent in terms of blocking light. And then apart from that, they should be the same.
Right.
Like there's really no real difference. Otherwise, it depends on how good your bottling line, how good your canning line is. Like there's some dissolved oxygen foolishness here and there to be considered. And
right.
We're not experts in that, but... You know, there could be some variance in packaging lines. And then again, they're not the same batch, I'm pretty sure. So there could be some small variance batch to batch. So I don't need to put a ton of stock in the frozen and cupboard ones, but it's clear in the ones that are actually abused that, you know, they can't hold up better.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And,
quite literally, and in the sense of this test, the cans just stack up better.
That's right. Yeah.
Should Should we revisit? Should we put to add to this? Maybe should we grab a couple more? Like even now, like keep them in the same ballpark of when they were packaged, and leave them in a fridge for 6 months.
Oh, like come back to this maybe with a different kind of angle on it.
Yeah, just one each.
I don't have any more.
We can get more. Well, I mean, they're pretty readily available. I don't think.
Yeah.
I go to the brewery pretty frequently.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, just like straight up, like kept properly. And I mean,
ooh, just like a long term control shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few months in the fridge and a few months in the cupboard or something.
No, or, just like just a few both, months in the fridge and just leave it.
Both of them in the fridge.
Oh, okay.
To see if there's any difference whatsoever.
I'm into giving that a go.
Interesting.
We could maybe do that. Not 6 months, mate, because it's an IPA. Like maybe like 3 or 4 months.
We could do that blind too. We could do that one blind.
What's your expectations there? What do you think? Do you think like, so Tony's house, if nobody's been to Tony's house, you open his fridge door, it's facing north, maybe?
I think even keep them, yeah, I don't know how much.
Oh, down here. Yeah. But I mean, just like,
oh yeah, I'll keep them down here. I'll keep them down here. There'll
be exposure. If you do it, you know, upstairs, it's exposure to the sun when you open it.
Yeah.
But down here, maybe less so.
Yeah.
Not much comes in here.
Just,
I wouldn't expect
just like control, like keep them as, you know, as they're supposed to be. Maybe like a 4 month or 3 or 4 month.
Yeah.
I'd be into that.
I think that would expose a weakness if there's a weakness in the seal of one of them to have that, you know, escaping.
Okay. I think that we should do that and come back to it, you know, later on in the year, or I guess it would be next year at this point.
Yeah.
I think it'd
so
be
if
kind
you're
of
abusing your beer, if you are a beer abuser,
right.
Cans are the way to go.
Yeah, if you want to feed up your beer and do bad things to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know if I would, I don't plan to do any things, these things to my beer anytime soon. Like, I don't know how much this is going to inform any purchasing decisions.
But would you say it may challenge the idea that beer belongs in bottles?
Indeed. I would suggest that. Also, from like a, For Phil, like carrying it somewhere perspective, you know, cans are lighter,
no question,
one way and much lighter the other way.
No question.
Yeah.
Again, like impact of creating them and shipping them and all that aside, like that's a whole kettle of fish.
It's like, you know, and it's an argument that can go on either side of the coin, depending
forever.
On many factors.
Many factors.
Of course. Like
but
any study you ever see, like it's just, it's always.
Yeah. I read like a thing from Crystal Luxmore the other day. She wrote like in Chatelaine or something about cans and bottles versus growlers and environmental impact. And the jury's still out, whoever you talk to, I think.
Yeah.
Well, one's not good for beer.
Well, the growler's bad for beer. But it's the best for the environment because you have one jug and you buy it and you fill it up, and if you drink it right away, it's arguably fine. If you don't do that, then you're toast.
But see, and I think like that comes back to this, like it's torture, but it's torture that it's pretty common torture.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like with the growler thing, right? It's like I can't trust myself.
If I, like, so like
if I go and buy a bunch of beer, right? And like, yeah, my intention might be to, oh, that's only available in growler fills. So I buy a growler. My intention might be whatever, but I might not get to it within that first 24 hours.
So like
I'm terrible.
At this point, at this point, if I'm buying a growler, I am only buying it if I 100% am committed to drinking
the beer that day. That's what I'm saying. And I would be the same way, but shit happens and it doesn't get. And that's just why.
Yeah, I buy them a propeller from time to time and off track. It's like off track, obviously, because they don't bottle Let's Dance, and if I go buy 2 liters of double IPA, I'm gonna drink it that day.
Well, I always get like the one thing I like about, you know, getting 1 liter growlers is specifically that, because I know I can drink a 1 liter growler. I don't want to drink 2 liters of the same beer anytime in any one sitting.
I drink a lot of Let's Dance, okay?
So do I, but I drink it in 1 liter bottles.
And you know, there's something to be said for some breweries that purge the growler first. Like if you show up with a clean growler, if it gets purged, if it gets filled to the top, you drink it quickly. It's fine. It's a lot of ifs.
Yeah, you're saying, it's a lot of ifs.
Under good conditions, it's fine.
But I think I saw on the CBC, there was an article. Did I send that to you guys? That there was a brewery in BC that was...
You put it on your story, I think, the other day.
Yeah. Is that what it was? Yeah. They were actually like giving people their $5 or whatever it was back and just like collecting the growlers.
I mean, there's some breweries that do that anyway, that take them back.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, somebody was in the other day and they asked about growlers, and I was in a different part of the store and they were talking to somebody else. I could hear the conversation,
of course,
about growlers.
Yeah.
And Megan, she looks over at me. She's like, Phil, what would you suggest for, because he bought some beer, but he also wanted to get his growlers filled.
Yeah.
And she's like, Phil, what would you suggest for this gentleman to get his growlers or to do with his growlers? And I was like, I would suggest you take them back to wherever you got them from and get your deposit back if you can.
Yep.
And that's when Jeff walked in from Dream Line.
Whoops. Or Jeff Line, as I call him.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Oh, man. Well, do you guys want to drink one more beer? Or do you guys just want to wrap this up and then we can just hang out for a little bit?
Either or, man.
I think there was something else I wanted to talk about, but I forget what it was, and I tried to go back and I couldn't find it.
No.
Did we get through our social questions?
We got through all of them, I'm pretty sure.
We didn't get a ton.
Unless we got some rolled in at the dead end of the episode. Again, with any of our tasting episodes, especially the ones where we're doing sort of more focused tasting as opposed to just like smashing beers, if you've got any feedback about, you know, how we went about this, you want to chew our ear off about what have you, please shoot us a message or an email or a DM. Like, we're all for it. Bless you.
Yep.
But if I you know, like to hear what people think of the episodes for sure. Like,
that was that metallic taste coming.
Yeah. It's always interesting to have a little conversation about, you know, sort of what we were aiming for. And 100%, like, I'm not going to lie, like, the whole basis for this episode was sort of like, does beer belong in bottles?
Yeah, it's a bit of a lagging. We talked about it a long time ago and we finally got to it, but
Well, there's some logistics to actually doing it.
Well, and you know, does this necessarily answer the question? I'm going to say outright no, but does it provide you some information to think about next time you're going to buy a beer and maybe leave it in your car, put it outside, or go to the beach with a can versus a bottle? Or
Lystruck's the real problem. Like, those are the ones you really ran into, and that's something that, like, you run into if you get a beer and you sit on a patio outside. You run into it at the beach. You run into it anywhere where you know, once it's in a glass, especially, like, it's clear glass, you're exposed to light instantly. It's like, these are real problems in terms of light struck.
Right, but if you're at a bottle shop, for example, and they have a bottle shelf that's facing a window, that the window is always open, like, that's light struck.
Yeah, totally.
If you've got a beer fridge that's constantly with a glass front and it's just constantly getting bombarded with light, like, people can say that your beer, the beer's protected, it's in the brown bottle. We've clearly proven that, like, you know, is the next step to, like, buy 6 bottles and leave them all out in the sun and drink them one at a time after a week's marker to find out where the magic point is of, like, light struck happening?
The magic point is, like, 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, even in a brown bottle, like, the magic point is like, no time.
Oh, even when you're sitting on the patio, like, I'm like,
you're looking
for shade, or
exactly. You're trying to sit in such a way you're blocking the sun.
Get the drink menu and cover up your beer. If anything, this should maybe inform how you purchase singles or bombers or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, this is good information, right?
Yeah.
Like,
we just keep some limes on hand to throw inside your...
I mean, again, like, the we didn't test them with a box. The box might help a little bit depending on where it is and all that jazz. But in this, absolutely, like, yeah.
So I guess, like, that's something to think about next time you visit a bottle shop or a store.
Doesn't a box require cardboard? It's cardboard made out of paper, which is made out of trees.
I can light your...
That's not environmentally friendly at all.
I'll light my wood stove or my barbecue with it.
Yeah.
I'm still cutting down trees.
Just saying, it's not...
Absolutely. Yeah, nope.
Well, I guess we can wrap it up.
I think we can.
So we don't have another episode planned yet. We'll be honest, but it's 2 weeks from now.
That's a lot of time, man.
Oh, we got tons of time.
Again, we do have we're going to do another a tasting coming up.
Can I pitch this to you guys now? Maybe if we do the Hazy Boy one, we can do the Hazy Boy one. But we could also do something like that's got a little bit more seasonal availability. Like, we talk about stouts or something like that, like stouts and porters. Like, a lot of stuff is coming online now for that. Like,
I've got enough rah-rah to warm a Russian army at this point. I think.
I don't think that that's what I was getting at, but like maybe more like
right, for like the beginning of December.
Yeah, I'm like more like regularly available darker beers.
Christmas and the
yeah.
That's when they get starting released too, yeah. Right? Instead of necessarily diving into
yeah.
cellars.
Well, we can start once pumpkin beer starts going on clearance, we can start looking. The eye roll.
I did see today that the Uncle Leo's Smoke Porter is out at the NSLC in singles.
Nice.
If you're so interested. Saw that. That's a good beer.
Great beer. I guess other than that, like, you know, we'll have another tasting episode coming up where we break some beers down.
Yep.
Eventually, we'll see the beer from Tide House that I worked on.
Yeah. Do you have an idea what your timeline is there?
Well, if you listen to the episode that came out on Friday.
Yeah.
we were talking.
You realize they brewed it at Tide House and they have no fucking idea.
Yeah, no. Early December.
Okay, great.
Yep. We fermentation has, by the time this is aired, fermentation's wrapped and we've sure. added the cherries. So they're just conditioning and then it's gonna get bottled off. I don't know what the time frame is on that. And then it's going to bottle condition until December.
So the cherries will just go in the fermenter with it once it's done. It's kind of first
yep.
run. Okay. Yep.
So yeah.
Love it.
Super cool. I guess we'll go straight into the outro at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll make this edit easy for you.
Let's do it.
The Friday episode was not.
Feel good.
We can throw it out to our sponsor, Bishop Cellar.
Bishop Cellar.
Bishop Cellar.
As we mentioned at the top of the episode and in the middle, new store is opening tomorrow. Wednesday, the 23rd.
Hot new label.
New
logo.
New logo.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Hey, new logo.
Other than that, fully equipped store is going to be open. As we mentioned, the growlers will be back online. You'll be able to see what's on tap. You know, they'll have the full-fledged store there. New yep. space for beer, new space for wine, everything basically.
Yes. Beer, wine, spirits, the whole shebang.
Everything's going to be there.
Sign up for the newsletters in our show notes and on their website.
Yep.
Wine Wednesday, Behind the Taps, all that fun stuff.
Sometimes the old Brews with Lou.
Yep. He does that at the store.
And then, I guess other than that, like, if you spend $150 on the website, I mean, like, if you want to do your own tasting or you want to do your own beer torture test or you just actually want to enjoy some beer, which is probably much more advisable than what we just did.
Blasphemous.
You can spend the cash. If you spend $150 online, they'll send you your product anywhere in Nova Scotia for free, which is pretty great. From a delivery perspective, you can get your own bottle share together. If you're thinking about, you know, Christmas season, holiday season's coming up, you can get started stocking up your fridge and your cellar for whatever festivities you may need to do. You know, cause it gets cold, it gets snowy out there. You just want to be ready for whatever's coming.
Well, I mean, it's going to rain tomorrow.
It's true.
Yeah. That wine I was recommending is there, or that I said that left an impression. It's called Marco Barba Barbarossa.
Ooh.
And it's a red Italian wine. It's only $24. So
that's a steal.
Yeah, it was really good.
That's Phil's recommendation right there.
That's it.
You should get your own card at the store.
I'll have to practice my arms folded pose. Yes.
If you also check the show notes, you can find links to our social media feed, I think. Facebook, Twitter, at 902 Brewcast on both of those. Same thing with Instagram. Follow along. Sometimes we post beer photos or what have you. If you want to support the show, you can kick us a donation, or if you like to have a physical good, you can buy a glass.
Yeah, some of those left.
12 left.
Yep.
Limited edition.
You can buy them all for $120 or $10 each.
Yep. Screaming deal.
Just shoot us a message or something. We usually try and get a delivery out in the HRM at some point. They make a great Christmas gift.
True, they do. Yeah.
Yep. They work better in pairs, so then... Just try to offload those, I swear to God. I guess other than that, stay tuned for the next episode.
Whatever it may be.
Just chill.
Ooh.
To the next episode.
Can you do
feel
it?
Feel I got the feel. Remember that? Who was that? Dr. Dre.
The chronic. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Burnout.
Cue the guitars.
Burnout.